It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Love this segment. The Professor and Jason Wilde. John Anderson, take it away.
Take it away. Wilde, did you use the bye week to write about either Dak and the Cowboys or Aaron and the Jets?
I did not. Should I have?
Nope, just making sure. It seems like that's all anybody can talk about, and I'm just making sure there's somewhere in the world where I could be, there's a safe zone that I can go to.
I did text both of the principal people involved in those situations with Green Bay connections to check if they were doing okay. And Mike McCarthy replied this morning. I'm guessing Aaron was too busy with McAfee to text me back today, but maybe tomorrow. But it is like, I don't think there are, and then we'll get to the actual Packers because I know.
Because I have a quick question on your Mike McCarthy's done. He'll never coach again in the NFL after this year, and I'm curious if Aaron Rodgers is going to retire because he could easily be in the same situation unless he wants to be given another shot.
So you don't think that you really don't think that Mike McCarthy?
No, he's done.
If another. Okay, you always say everything so definitively.
Well, and I understand what you're saying because the feeling could be that he can still coach, but that the Cowboys are so screwed up. Your position is reasonable.
Correct. Yeah. And look, they've been 12-5 each of the last 2 years, and I know, obviously, they won, what, one playoff game 2 years ago and then got beat?
Yeah, I might lose this bet. I also wonder how much he wants to coach.
Yeah, that's fair. And then, I think he's 60 now. But you keep working, and you're like 87. And then the Rodgers thing, like, I just have – knowing him, or at least knowing who he used to be, I have a hard time picturing him – he used to say when we were doing the show that he would retire by the time he was 35. He had way too many other things he wanted to do with his life. And then now he's going to be 41, and he's still playing, and I'm not sure that he can walk away under these – circumstances, but I'm not going to say another word about either one of them because John's whole point was that we were talking about the Packers, and then I did it anyway, and I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry that I brought it up. Back to you, too.
Well, no, he brought it up. I did it. He brought it up. I did it. You furthered it.
Yep.
So you do get some blame.
Guilty.
What I was going to say about that is he didn't have to retire now because he's already been to Egypt, so that's already off the bucket list, so he doesn't have to worry about it. When he comes back. Tell me, because I do not know. I've spent way too much time in Connecticut. Does LaFleur have a bye week routine? Does he have something where he goes back and does the self-scouting? All right, look at these plays. Is he a deep dive? What does he do during his week? Do you know?
Yeah, so I don't know. He definitely did something different this year because I think he did the traditional, what everybody does, right? Oh, time for a self-scout, and we really dig deep into our tendencies. And he said something before we adjourned when he spoke to us on Monday of last week, as the bye was starting. And then Goody talked on Wednesday after the trade deadline, and then players had open locker room yesterday during Wilde Tausch, which I didn't particularly appreciate, so I didn't get to go. And then we'll be back to LaFleur and Love talking tomorrow. But I thought this was really interesting. He basically said, with where technology is at and the access they have to film and everything else all the time and how quickly the cut-ups are available, that they really don't need to devote the bye week to self-scouting because they have the wherewithal to do constant self-scouting, which is interesting because I always wondered, if you are trying to figure out how to make your team better, why wait until the bye week? Don't you have other people that could be working on that for you as the season is going along? So you're not looking back after the bye week going, damn, I wish we would have done this 3 weeks ago. So what LaFleur did was not only did they do all their self-scouting as they've gone through the first 9 games, but while he did have some projects for the assistant coaches to do, he gave them the week off and basically said, in the normal world of non-football coaches, basically said, hey, work from home, work remotely. Here's your assignment. get it done before the end of the week, but get it done on your schedule. So, like, Sydney, our 13-year-old, had the start of her basketball season, and there from a rival school is Jason Rebrovich, the defensive line coach. So the two of them, their teams didn't play each other. His daughter's a year younger than Sid. But, like, the two and I, him and I stood and talked for, like, 10 minutes. Like, he had that freedom to go to his daughter's basketball game, whereas a lot of times these guys miss out on all that kind of stuff. So kudos to Matt LaFleur to realize, hey, we can work smarter, not harder or longer during the bye week, and let these guys recharge their batteries and be ready for this next 8-game death march toward the playoffs.
And did you mention to the coach, dude, if your guys don't play better, this season's going to go, this could be in the tank.
I said, I hope your daughter's better than Rashawn Gary. No, I didn't say that. And she's certainly getting paid less than he is. You know, look, yesterday I wasn't in the locker room. I had a conversation with Rashawn Gary a couple weeks ago, and I made a joke there, but I do believe he's conscientious. I do believe he cares. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he's Cletus Hunt, who got paid and said, been real, I'm not trying anymore, I got mine. And then, you know, didn't pay his taxes, and I think they took most of it back. But, I think Rashawn is authentically someone who cares about it and isn't complacent. But there's no denying that he hasn't been productive enough. I mean, he's got 2.5 sacks and 20 pressures through 9 games. That's not good enough for your star pass rusher. And I did find myself wondering, I'm trying to remember who it was that I was on with that asked, is this Preston Smith trade to Pittsburgh and it coming out that he was unhappy in the scheme and had asked for a trade because he didn't feel like he felt like he was miscast. Is this going to now become a crutch for all the other defensive ends who have not been productive, like Rashawn Gary, and say, it's not me, it's the scheme, which I would hope that's not the case, because my issue with this, and if I'd have been there yesterday, you know, Rashawn Gary, I wouldn't say he was combative with Bill Huber and Rob Domofsky and those guys, but, you know, when somebody asked him, you know, you have a high standard, you haven't been as productive as I'm guessing you would like to be, why do you think that is? He did the whole, well, why do you think it is? Have you watched the film? And I'm not a big fan of it when people do that, only because, you know, I feel like you get more grace if you own that, hey, yeah, I've been getting chipped and thumped by tight ends and running backs. And yeah, you know, I haven't gotten as many one-on-one matchups, but the ones I have gotten, I haven't won enough. Like, this team needs me to be great, and I've just been okay. I feel like when you say that, I think people give you a heck of a lot of grace. And they may agree and say, yeah, you haven't been good enough. But they respect the fact that you own it. And, you know, he said the numbers are going to come, and maybe they will. Maybe they'll use them more like they used them against Houston, and his production will climb. But to this point, the $96 million man that you signed to an extension 13 months ago, you know, I see these other elite pass rushers getting blocked by a tackle and then bumped by a tight end and then chipped by a running back and still getting pressure on quarterbacks. So I don't think that that's a valid argument that you're facing too much attention, because the other guys get it too. And I'm not giving up on him by any stretch of the imagination, but they need him, and Goody admitted it, they need him and the rest of those guys to be better in the second half of the season than they have been.
Give me give me on a scale of 1 to 10 the importance of the Bear game when they're have turned into lousy and dysfunctional and they're running 9. They're the Keystone Cops right now. Like you cannot give this game away in my book.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like I you know, when we talk about must wins, they're usually like big showdowns, right? Or they're win or go home playoff games or pseudo playoff games, like the Packers lost at the end of the 2022 season. But in a weird way, this is kind of a must-win. Like, you're 0-2 in the division. You're playing a team that is in complete disarray. They're going to get – now, it could be minimal. It could be significant. You know, I don't know enough about Thomas Brown other than knowing that he coached the Badgers running backs for a year. I don't, you know, he was calling plays last year for Carolina. Carolina had lots of problems, including an owner who was dumping a drink on a Jaguars fan, if I recall correctly. So it wasn't just the offensive play calling. But it's not like you're handing over the playbook now to a guy who has had a ton of success as a play caller in the NFL. So maybe they get a bounce from this. I mean, maybe at least DJ Moore isn't walking off the field in the middle of a play and sitting down and getting a Gatorade. But, I mean, he's borderline Ezra Johnson eating a hot dog on the sideline. But if you lose this game, I mean, who are you? Like, I have used Homer's line so many times because it's so good and it's so rare for me to want to copy something of his. And that was when he said, if you're the team you think you are, this is a game you win. And there's been a few of those this season. And this is undeniably one, because if you don't win it, then we're wondering, what the hell team are you?
But things like this happen historically in division games, right? I mean, if you're going to have craziness, it often occurs in a division game. The NFL numbers say that.
Well, and let's be honest, too. I mean, sooner or later, the law of averages will catch up even with Matt LaFleur. I mean, Matt LaFleur's 10-0 against these guys. Now, I'm not saying I don't think they're going to lose on Sunday. I'm not saying that at all. But I do find myself wondering if something wacky is going to happen. Did they block a punt in the game last week? I have not gone back and watched the Bears game yet. I was in Milwaukee today. So I want to go back and watch the Bears-Patriots game from Sunday. I think they blocked a punt. I may be wrong about that. But those are the kinds of things, you know, that allow inferior teams to win games because of those kind of wacky mistakes or unusual occurrences. You know, you get a pick six, which Jordan's thrown two of those this year now. You get one of those, you block a punt, you know, somebody fumbles a kickoff deep in their own territory, and you gift wrap more points for the Bears. Like, there are ways to lose to clearly inferior teams. And you certainly don't need that to happen this week.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, All Packers All the Time. We have a contest where you can win, and that's coming up next, along with more of the Professor John Anderson. All next.